17 minutes after 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Welcome to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is Tuesday, it's the 14th of June. It is the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. And we have Mawlana Naeem Dokrat co-hosting the program with us this morning. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mawlana?
Very, very well. Alhamdulillah. Allah shukar, Mawlana. How are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah. Can't complain.
Alhamdulillah. Shukar. Mawlana, interesting snippet. I just heard it briefly about the lady who helped an elderly lady with her utilities bill, and then the young sons providing groceries for this particular lady.
Yes, indeed, Mawlana. It was the counselor, the ex-counselor of NRA. And he had written in to us and had dropped it off at the station. And indeed, a very inspiring story of how he had helped this lady out and refused to take a meal from her, and how it had touched the kindness in her heart. And later on, she repaid it when he was unemployed, and by returning the favor she had given, and came back and bought groceries for this man and gave it and dropped it off at his house as a gesture of kindness.
MashaAllah. So it just shows that you know, the ayat of the Quran, hal jaza'u al-ihsan illa al-ihsan, that when one person does good, then the reply or the reward of that is to do good to that person as well. Al-insan abdul ihsan, one of the Arabic sayings that we learned in our starting years of Darul Uloom, that once a person does some ihsan or kindness to you, then you are in a certain sense enslaved to that person. You are committed and bound to that person because of that ihsan and that kindness and the good act that the person has given and carried out.
Yes, indeed.
Mawlana, it teaches us lessons of replying and rewarding when somebody does some kindness to you.
Yes, indeed, Mawlana. You know, paying back what someone has, or passing it on at least, is part of faith. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed us that the best of mankind is he who is helpful to others. خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ, that who is of benefit to others. And this is what we should try to understand and try to do, that we should also try to be of benefit to others, especially if someone has done us a favor, then we should at least try to repay it in the best of possible manners, and we should show kindness to those people who do us favors as well.
People show us kindness all of the time. They give us hadaya, you know, especially with this month of Ramadan starting. I'm sure people exchanging a lot of gifts, passing on tamar, dates, etc., and giving different types of gifts during the starting of Ramadan. I know I receive a yearly gift from one of my uncles in Lanesia, and it wouldn't be wrong to mention his name on air as well, Haji Yusuf Asmal, who sends a gift of dates not only to me, but I think to many of his nephews and nieces, cousins and distant relatives, friends, many different people as well. And you know, this is an ihsan that a person is carrying out, and many of us are recipients of ihsan, and we should reward that as well by doing some ihsan in return. Sometimes perhaps we cannot afford to give the same value or same quality of gift, but in some other way perhaps try and show some kindness to that person.
Yes, indeed. This is the quality of a believer, that indeed when we are shown kindness, we also show kindness back, we repay the kindness. Also we see in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regards to just the mere fact of giving salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us, وَإِذَا حَيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّهَا, that even if someone greets you with salam, then reply to that with the similar or even better than that day.
Yes, we should try and reply one ihsan with another ihsan that is quite similar. That is also what we have taught us in this hadith as well, Mawlana, or in this ayat of the Quran. From salam, then we reply similar or even better, and similarly with gifts, etc., give something even better if we can.
Indeed. So today, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we shall be discussing another sahabi. And the sahabi, as we had mentioned earlier and we had discussed, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu.
He, a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. I think we'll just be able to mention a little bit about him today because of the short time period before 11:30, where we'll have to be joined by Mawlana Yahya Bam, inshallah. But he was a wise among my men among the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And you know, Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, with regards to him, it is mentioned in the book Men Around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the enemies of Islam were advancing victoriously in Medina. A wonderful philosopher and a wise man whose wisdom flowed in his bright words, he kept saying to those around him, "Can I tell you about the best of your deeds, which are more thriving and better than invading your enemies, cutting their throats and cutting yours, and better than dirhams and dinars?" Those who listened to him craned their necks and they hurried and they asked him, "What is that, O Abu Darda?" Abu Darda resumed his speech. His face glittered with the light of faith and wisdom. He said, The remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing in life. And that was the words of Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the wonderful wise man. He wasn't preaching his own philosophy, nor his own words, not preaching negativism, nor retirement from responsibilities. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was rather, he was the man who took up his sword and struggled with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since he embraced Islam, till the help of Allah ta'ala and the victory came. But he was that type who finds himself in his full lived existence whenever he's alone, contemplating. And Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was really a man of wisdom and great knowledge as well.
Yes, indeed, Malaya. And we see further in his life that Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he was really a man who was that of understanding, and he was the one whose goal was to find the way of truth. And thus he had engrossed himself in iman, in faith, and dedicating himself to it by forming his life strictly and wisely and seriously according to it. And he had walked on that path until he had arrived at the truth and took his high position amongst the truthful ones when communicating with Allah and reciting the verse that truly, verily, my prayer, my devotion, my life, and my death are solely and only for Allah. This is the ayat, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And yes, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, the struggle of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu against and with himself ended in attainment of his high spiritual position, remote superiority and personal sacrifice, which made him dedicate all his life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was the cherisher of the worlds. And if you look at this, look at Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, you will notice that those who described him, that a light would radiate from around his forehead, and you would see that there would be a smell of good perfume coming from his direction, and it was the light of wisdom and the perfume of faith. Faith and wisdom had come together happily in this man, and his mother was asked about what he liked best. She answered that contemplation and consideration. This was in complete accord with the saying of Allah Ta'ala in more than one verse, and that therefore take warning, you who have eyes to see. And this is what he would do. He would contemplate over the creation of Allah, contemplate over the creation of Allah and all the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
What did Abu Darda radiallahu anhu say, Malana? He said, contemplation for an hour is better than worshipping for the whole night. That was his wise words. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he explained in his own words. He says, I embraced Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was a trader. I wanted to combine trade and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they would never go together. I abandoned trade and retained worship. Today, it does not please me to sell and buy to earn 300 dinars a day, although my shop is at the door of the masjid. Even if my shop was right at the door of the masjid, I could go into the masjid anytime I wanted. I wouldn't be happy with that. It wouldn't it wouldn't give me that satisfaction, wouldn't give me that peace of mind. He says, I can't say that Allah forbids selling, but I would like to be of those whom neither traffic nor merchandise can divert from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he wanted to be among those Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, completely dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah, we see what the great wisdom had come out from Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. You know, he just said regarding him, but do you see how he speaks completely and correctly? While wisdom and truth shine through his words, he hurries before we ask him, does Allah forbid trade, O Abu Darda? He hurries to sweep away this question from our minds and refers us to the superior goal that he was seeking for. So he immediately changes our direction, and he says that which he left trade and what he was really seeking, in spite of his success as a trader, he was a man searching for spiritual excellence and superiority, and looking for the maximum degree of perfection available to human beings. He wanted worship as a ladder that rises him to the highest level of goodness and approaches right in its glory and truth in its shining origin. If he wanted to worship to be merely duties to be done and prohibition to be left, he could manage both his worship and his trade in deeds. There are many good traders, and there are many good and pious persons working in trade. Among the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were many men whom neither traffic nor merchandise could divert them from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they had worked hard to develop their trade and their money, by which served the cause of Islam and satisfied the needs of the believers. But the method of some of the companions does not diminish the method of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, nor does his method diminish theirs, as everyone is fit for what he was created. And Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said that he was created for what he devoted his life to, that was seeking excellence in worshipping Allah after the truth by practicing the ultimate expression of celibacy according to faith which he was guided by Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Islam. We may call it mysticism if we wished, but it was the mysticism of a man who had plenty of them keenness of a believer, the capability of a philosopher, and the experience of a fighter, and the jurisprudence of the Prophet's companions. This made his mysticism a lively moment in establishing his soul and not merely shadows of his building. And yes, Abu Darda radiallahu anh was the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the student of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Beautiful. Abu Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. I read a statement of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. He said to his companions, he wrote a letter to them, he said that any temporary thing you possess in life was possessed by someone before you, and will be owned by another after you, and you have nothing except that which you offer yourself. Give preference over yourself to him from whom you are collecting money for your sons to inherit. Since you're collecting money for one of the two, either a good son who spends the money in obedience to Allah, excuse me for that one, you are either collecting for a son who spends it in the obedience of Allah, so he will be happy with what you earn and free from troubles, or a disobedient son who spends it in sins and disobedience to Allah, and so you will be tortured by what you had collected for him, and trust their living to the bounty of Allah and save yourself. This was the wisdom of Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. We take a little bit of a break now, inshallah, and perhaps we can share some more of the wisdom of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu tomorrow, inshallah. However, now we take a break and we come back. We'll be speaking to Mawlana Yahya Bamsat, and the focus of our discussion will be around Taraweeh, inshallah al-Aziz. Stay tuned to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and welcome back to our co-host Mawlana Naeem Dokrat. We welcome on the program this morning Mawlana Yahya Bamsat. Mawlana Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you keeping this morning, Mawlana?
Shukr, alhamdulillah. Although very cold, and but I'm sure the animal is even worse. Or that's what they normally say, it's more cold there.
Gee, it's true. I think Amalo is a little bit colder than the reef area.
Did you get snow already?
No, we didn't get snow. Yesterday, close by in Falls Crest, I heard that there was a little bit of sleet. I don't think they got snow, but that area usually does get snow.
Allah, mashallah, snow in Ramadan, and the people in the north must be looking at it with water in their mouth, because they have huge cold in the winters, but at the moment they have huge summer, long days of summer. I think the longest they will have in 30 years. And Allah Ta'ala give them stubborn, and Allah Ta'ala make it easy for them, and Allah has made it easy for us in many different ways.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Maulana, inshallah, in our program today we want to take a look at Taraweeh and look at the different aspects concerning Taraweeh and the importance of the Taraweeh Salah and how it should be performed. Also some of the common issues that come up concerning Taraweeh.
Yeah, Maulana, if anybody was to call in with their experiences in Taraweeh and let the Ummah know about whatever they are experiencing, I wish you welcome them, Maulana.
Yes, inshallah. Listeners are welcome to call in, Maulana. Naeem, maybe you can share the SMS lines for us, inshallah.
Yes, indeed, those who wish to call in can, either they can call in on our landline, that's 011-854-1548, or you can WhatsApp your questions to 072-786-1548, or you can SMS also 48855.
Inshallah.
With regards to Taraweeh Salah, Maulana, the first thing is the importance of Taraweeh and why we performing our Taraweeh Salah.
Yeah, Maulana, is a very important aspect that you want to touch, but a very huge controversy in the people in Ummah, and something that is beginning to grow, and that is that which is the established Sunnah that has been the way from the time of the Sahaba and the Nabi Kareem, so the reading of 20 rakat. And now you have many people that are coming in and expressing their own views. It's sort of the in thing among the youth, or the rebellious thing, that we only read 8 rakat. They should know that there is a misinterpretation of the hadith with regards to the 8 rakat that Rasulullah performed throughout the year. Said Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, is that the right day is read 8 rakat and then 3 rakat. That is 11 rakat in total. There is nothing wrong with that. Definitely we accept that and it is correct. But you are misplacing it every day in the year. Besides the month of Ramadan, you do not read Taraweeh. So that is Qiyam al-Layl. That is the Tahajjud Salat. And it is 8 rakat and 3 rakat per witr. But the Taraweeh Salat, go to Makkatul Mukarramah any time you want. And see the Taraweeh in Makkah. It has been ever since 1,000 years. It has always been like that, 20 rakat Taraweeh. And there where we want to argue and say that it is the way of the Salafus Salihin. This is the way of the Salafus Salihin. That did not be the shaitan. Yeah, you want to be really lazy, you want to read only 4 or 2 rakats and walk out. Do that. But don't say that is the established salat, and you will challenge a person like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and so many more sahaba, not only Sayyidina Umar. Now, those for the people, for the common people, for us, for me and you, will I follow Sayyidina Umar, or will I follow one of these student types, Zakir Naiks, or Tom Dick and Harris, to say that they are the correct people that understood better than Sayyidina Umar and so many other sahaba? Definitely not. It is ridiculous. Yes, you want to do less Taraweeh, carry on. Do that because you are feeling lazy. There are certain circumstances, but do not argue in this matter, Maulana.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed, Maulana. Maulana, we've just received a question here, and it says that they want to know, can you read your Witr Salah before you start your Taraweeh?
No, that Tarawih is supposed to be read before the Witr. And that is the way the narration and the tariq has been. Ji, Mawlana just said?
Ji, Mawlana, so explicitly, clearly mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many ahadith and it is clearly mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's irrefutable. You know, I'm just reading that there is a hadith that is narrated by Musanna ibn Abi Shayba, Tabarani and Bayhaqi. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed 20 rakats and witr in Ramadan. So that is clearly mentioned, and we cannot question with regards to the authenticity confirmation that Tarawih is Sunnah.
Well, if there are other directions with regards to eight or so, let us again, I repeat what I'm saying, let us put a person in front to argue the matter and solve the problem. And we put Sayyidina Umar. Now, put again Sayyidina Umar, some other fellow to come and say that Umar is wrong, and Sayyidina Umar did not do the right decision, or he did not understand Quran and Sunnah, or he was anybody less. Ya Allah, Rasulullah says that if there was a Nabi after me, Sayyidina Umar is to be the Nabi. He would have been the Nabi. That means Allah has given him such faraset and such knowledge, and he then says that do the Tarawih this way. And ever since, for all the years, the budget, the Haram Sharif, there was 20. Why are they doing 20? And where is this lately story that has come out? The way of the Soviets are behind all the great Bodhya and the saintly one and all the Sabbath. Every greatest of the staff, they all read Tarawih that way. And none of them are to have said that they read eight rakats and four rakats and all these hanky-panky stories. Malana?
There was nothing in the predecessors of reading 8 rakat and 4 rakat and calling it Tarawih. That is why Imam Bukhari rahimahullah in his Sahih also has a separate chapter referring to Qiyam al-Layl, referring to Tahajjud. He has a separate chapter referring to the Tarawih Salah. So that is proof enough.
Yes, Sahih Mawlana. And yes, we don't want to go any further into the 20 rakat and 8 rakat. It's an established story. It is something that is accepted by the Ummah, the majority of the Ummah. And there are some deviant factors that are trying to create new type of deviations by doing what they are doing. Let's go further, Mawlana. Alhamdulillah, here in Indonesia and its surrounding areas, the Tarawih Salat is being recited, and I see that many are reading very clear and beautiful pronunciation, keeping in mind the Makharij and the Tajweed, and although at a reasonably good speed, but that when Tarawih starts being at around after 7, the half Masjid, most of the Masajid are done with the Tarawih already. So you have a beautiful, good reading, and that is the way the Tarawih is being made. And we make shukr to Allah that Allah has given us the great fortunate opportunity to do it with so much ease. And the one that reads, the one that keeps the roza for the pleasure of Allah, that Allah will forgive him in the same way the one who stands in Tarawih for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will forgive him all his sins.
Mawlana, you know, looking at it and seeing, someone has asked that with regards to it being the days of cold, how do we give motivation to those that have to go out to the masjid in the cold? And especially it being the month of Ramadan, we see some people, they say that, you know, it's very cold, we can't go out and we read Tarawih. What motivation can we give some such people?
Well, no, first of all, the question will be that there are so many other events that take place, and a person doesn't look at the cold and doesn't look at the fleas. And our cold and fleas is not as bad as certain countries where the snow and beyond snow and freezing points are in the minuses, many minuses. But they do whatever else they do. They do all worldly things that they want to do. Shopping they will go, and so many different things of activities they will take part in. But only at night when it comes to Ishaan, it's strange. That is something that is definitely not acceptable. And then, alhamdulillah, many or most of our masajid either have heaters or floor heating and the carpet heating, and that makes the place warm to hot where we are standing.
Because the masajid are so comfortable, and you know, it reminds me of the saying of one of the elders of Tabligh as well, who used to mention that we go out to see the Mewatis, and they would be out in the heat and you know, out in the sun, and we would tell them that the masjid is there, the fans are on, the water is cool, you can come, we can sit in the masjid. But they would refuse to do so because they were so caught up in the occupations there.
This is just a simple argument and a very weak argument that because of it being so cold, we don't want to go out. People can visit the family, go to the doctor, go and buy food if they want to. All that they will do on cold days. Who is it that goes into the house at 4 o'clock and does not come out the next morning at 8 o'clock? If somebody is like that, then they can come and discuss as well. We'll tell them that how they can then make it for Abhi.
So we really need to encourage people, and inshallah, with a little bit of encouragement, people will start coming to the masjid. It also happens that in the starting few days you get lots of people, and then as the days go on, then people start becoming less and less for the Taraweeh.
Yeah, but those people that are becoming less and less are not people that are staying home. They are going to all other venues and doing all other things. It's only, so it is the one from Allah Ta'ala, this forgiveness that is there, that has been promised, and the knowing that in the Akhirah what I'm going to get, and the great reward that you're going to get through the going out in this Taraweeh. I mean, if logic had it its own way, and if people try to set this out in their own way, then it would have been, Marana, it would have been this way, that let's say if somebody told a group of people that here's a year and here's a calendar, it is Muharram to Zulhijjah, this is the whole year. In this year, some way you have to fit in 30 days of fasting, and some way you have to fit in Taraweeh, which is 20 rakats every night. So what will you do? Then if it is me and you in ordinary mind, we'll say that let's do the fasting in the month of Ramadan, then let's do the Taraweeh in Muharram and Safar and Hajj or something like that. Why in Ramadan when you have fasted the whole day? If it's a summer fast, that is a whole long day. It is so heavy. And then, on top of it, 20 rakats Taraweeh also. But do it and see what Nuraniyat, Shaitan is taken out of the way. And this is what is going to give a complete life to the Roza and the beauty to the month of Ramadan.
Yes, indeed, Mawlana. Also, you know, we're looking at our Taraweeh Salah, alhamdulillah, we've got many imams around in different areas and different capital and for us. But someone wants to know that many times we go to certain masjids and we see that the Taraweeh Salah is read very fast. And even though the pronunciation, the maharij is clear and the reading very clear, however, when they go into ruku and sajda, then there's not even time to read three subhanallahs properly. What should we do in this case here?
Yeah, we should follow that imam or that hafiz, because you are reading, somebody is reading, with Bukhari, the Ikhtar, belongs to Rabbiyan Azeem. While that Hafiz, that Imam that has to continue reading, he's going to read the Subhana Rabbiyal Azeem and Subhana Rabbiyal Ala at quite a fast pace. And then, in the ruku, it is the sunnah, it is the preferred way that you read it three only, not more, especially not more. And if you want to read it less, then try not to read it less than three, or read it at least once. Yes, where you go into the ruku and before some people touch down into the ruku, the Imam is already saying Sami Allahu Liman Hamidah. In that case, we will tell the Imam, take it a bit easy. At least accommodate the older people whose bones might be a little difficult to bend over and go into the sajda. He comes down into the sajda, you're already getting up. But the three they are allowed, and then the Hafiz is going to read it at a faster pace. So you read it as much as you can. The person that is asking, as much as you can, you read. If the Imam says, Sami Allahu Liman Hamidah, then you get up after seeing it once or whatever amount of time you have said it. Malana?
Yes, that is very, very important, of making sure that firstly the wajib of Salah, Ta'dilul Arkan, to make sure that each posture is fulfilled adequately, so that we don't rush through the postures. That is wajib of Salah. And if that is not being completed, then the Salah is not even accepted. And then to complete all whatever adhkar have to be recited in Salah, that is very, very important, and it is from the Sunnah. It would be harmful for us if we are making intention of fulfilling the Sunnah of Taraweeh while leaving out the Sunan that is within Salah itself.
See.
Looking at the Taraweeh Salah, you know, it is such a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, we spoke on the comfort of the masajid in the day. Indeed, we need to start making a bit of an effort with the Taraweeh Salah towards the understanding of the Quran as well. You know, many people, we receive this complaint here that why should I read Taraweeh Salah when I don't understand what is being read in Salah? So I think a simple way, a simple manner of coming closer unto understanding what is being recited in the Quran, and this will bring us closer unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, is that first of all we learn the simple words that are in the Quran. For example, Jannat and Jahannam. When we hear ayats pertaining to Jannat and Jahannam, at least let us ponder in our salah over Jannat and Jahannam as well, Mawlana. What is your opinion regarding this, Mawlana?
Yeah, with regards to now the recitation of the Quran that is being done by the Hafiz, it should not be in such a way that the people don't even understand what is being read. And it's the duty of a Muslim that when, for example, in the year, the one is the Quran reading that they do throughout the year, and one is the Quran reading they do in the month of Ramadan. Throughout the year when they're reading the Quran, try to look at the meaning, try to look at the understanding, and look at the tafsir, ponder in what Allah is being said, what is Allah Ta'ala's message to us. And when you ponder for that half an hour or 1 hour on a daily basis throughout the 11 months, surely words are going to be picked up and it is going to be understood. 80-90% of the Quran, or I would even say 95% of the Quran, is very, very straightforward ayat. Do not do these things and do not do these things, and Allah doesn't love the mutakabbirin, etc. These are the ayat that are there. So that will be picked up as you're listening to the recitation. There might be few that needs deeper interpretation. Then in the month of Ramadan, the pondering that you did throughout the year, now in the month of Ramadan is the recitation of the Quran. How much more can I read? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 suparas. For a hafiz it will be even more. But for a non-hafiz, I know there are those that will finish a Quran every second, third day. Let it be that way. Malana?
Yes, indeed, Malana. Unfortunately, we have come to the end of the program. We've got 3 minutes left before the end of the program, Malana.
Jee. Allah Ta'ala give us the value of these nights of Ramadan, this Taraweeh making, this getting up for Suhoor, and reading of the Tahajjud, and the making of the Dua. May Allah accept our Ramadan from all of us. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran to Mala Yahya Abam, shukran to Mala Naeem Dokrat, shukran to Ziyad Khan, our studio operator. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.